Let's pray. God, we do desire to worship you, to encounter you in your word, to know your presence, to feel your peace. And so, O Lord, we pray that you would continue to send your spirit in this place. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Somebody asked me this morning if my sermon title was a comment on my husband. It's not, although I missed a good opportunity while he's out of town to make a few bald jokes. I'll wait till he's here. It's more fun that way anyways. Our Very Bible Summer series, as I said, brings us today to the story of Samson. And you find that story in the book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16. But finding the story isn't really the issue. It's what the story's like when you find it. You see, like the children, many of us may know the basics of this man named Samson. He was that really strong guy in the Bible, the guy with superhuman strength. I sort of picture that classic image of a circus strong man, lots of muscles, kind of caveman style clothing, except usually the circus strongman image is that of a bald guy with a long curling mustache, which doesn't fit with our image of Samson, because the other main thing we know about him is that he had long hair. He never cut it because he believed that the secret source of his strength was his hair. Thanks, Jack. Samson is kind of a superhero figure in the Bible, which is why this story probably is told to and remembered by kids. He is this hero whose superpower is his incredible strength and whose kryptonite is his hair. Now, if you're like me, you love a good superhero story. I have never really gotten into the comic books, but I love a comic-based movie. I even love a bad superhero movie. There have been plenty of both good and bad ones over the last several years. Between the classics like Batman and Superman, now Wonder Woman, and then there are all the Marvel superheroes, the Avengers, the X-Men, we're talking Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, Thor, the Hulk, Daredevil, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, and the list goes on and on. And if they haven't been in a major movie, there's probably been a spin-off TV show starring them. Our fascination with larger-than-life humans may be as old as Samson, but it is alive and well today, including at my house. Pretty much any time that Joshua and I decide to pick up a movie to watch together after the kids go to bed, it's a superhero movie. I would like to tell you we watch something more profound or mature, but I will find myself standing at the Redbox kiosk perusing my options, and I'll think, oh, that movie was supposed to be really good. Great drama, wonderful acting, or the critics really liked that one. Or I heard that's an excellent historical piece, really moving, thought-provoking. But nearly every single time, I will flip past those great cinematic works of art and choose the latest superhero film. The one we watched most recently was Logan. It's a spin-off movie about one of the X-Men, Wolverine. And for all of you out there who watch the more meaningful movies, Wolverine is the guy with the blades that come out of his hands. He's also got a regenerative healing power. So Joshua and I started watching the movie pretty late the other night. We settled in on the couch with our popcorn to relax and unwind and got 2 hours and 21 minutes of unrelenting, terribly violent fighting and killing. It was way more violent and dark than most superhero movies, shockingly violent, without a lot of good to make up for it, which is kind of the way I feel about the story of Samson. It had been a while since I read his whole story. Maybe it's been a while for you too. You may remember that one of the first of Samson's feats of strength comes one day while he's traveling down the road and he's attacked by a lion. Samson tears it apart with his bare hands like it's nothing. Doesn't even bother to tell anybody about it. But do you remember the part that later, when he's mad about losing a kind of a bet about that lion, he goes to a neighboring town and kills 30 men? Samson also burns down a whole village's crops. He takes revenge by killing his wife's tribesmen. He slaughters 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. All of this violence isn't unprovoked, but it's not unavoidable. The story of Samson, if you read it all the way through, is shockingly violent, without a lot of good to make up for it. And Samson is supposed to be the good guy, the hero. He's God's guy in this story, but he doesn't seem very good at all. He's violent and vengeful. He's selfish and easily angered. He's a womanizer and he's weak. And you cannot help but wonder why God picked him, which many scholars will tell you is precisely the point of the story. One of my favorite biblical scholars writes that in the book of Judges in particular, we find ourselves immersed in nearly unrelieved mayhem. Over and over again, we are told and throughout the book of Judges that the people of Israel did evil in God's sight. That's the main thing they do in the entire book. And to turn those evil Israelites around, God uses this ragtag series of flawed and outright reprobate leaders called the judges. But the thing is, through all of that mayhem, through this whole dark period of the judges, there is this thread of God kind of slogging his way towards salvation. This persistent working out of God's purposes and plans in spite of the continuing evil of the people and the pretty terrible behavior of the judges. And God could not make it any more clear than he does in stories like Samson's that he doesn't require good people to do good work. In fact, God does some of his best work using the most unlikely people. That's kind of the big lesson of Samson and the book of Judges and maybe the whole Bible, actually. Yes, Samson's a moral mess, and God's people are a mess, but God is still at work for good in the midst of that mess. And so for any of us who see a whole lot of evil in the world, and for any of us who know all too well how flawed we are, and for any of us who look around and see a mess, it is really good news that God is still at work for good in the midst of that, in spite of it all, and even able to use people like us and worse. But there is another lesson to be learned from Samson's story. And it comes at the end of his story. Judges chapter 16. You see, Samson, after a bit, falls in love with a woman named Delilah. You've probably heard of her. Their names are almost always said together, Samson and Delilah. And Delilah ends up being his biggest downfall. You see, Samson's enemies, the Philistines, the ones he's been killing, and they've been trying to kill him for quite a while now, they bribe Delilah to find out the source of Samson's strength. And Delilah eventually manages to find out. Judges chapter 16, verse 15. Delilah said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times now, and you have not told me what makes your strength so great." Finally, after she had nagged him with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." You see, Samson, from the day he was born, had been set aside, devoted by his parents since birth as a Nazarite. And one of the rules for this devoted group of people, the Nazarites, one of the signs of their devotion to God was that they would never cut their hair. And so Samson never had. And he had always been strong, incredibly, miraculously strong. And so why wouldn't Samson believe that the source of his strength was his hair that he had never cut? And sure enough, when he fell asleep, Delilah called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of Samson's head. He began to weaken, and his strength left him. Then she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." When he awoke from sleep, he thought, "I will go out, as the other times, and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Sure enough, head shaved, strength gone, eyes gouged out, taken captive by his mortal enemies and sentenced to menial labor, Samson hits rock bottom. Everything he has and has gained is stripped away. Up until this point, Samson's life has really been one success after another. He's gotten the wives and whatever else he wanted. He's been an unstoppable force. However violent in our eyes, he's lived life on his own terms, and he's become a legend. He's even got a whole line of luggage named after him. But here's the thing. Here is where we find ourselves in this story. None of us have gone, I don't think, hand to hand with a lion or 1,000 enemy warriors, nor are we about to. But have you ever been in a place of great accomplishment, a time when everything was going well? Have you ever achieved something that looked good or felt good or simply truly was good? This position in life, a position like that, let's call it a Samsonite place, is that place or time when you've done something well, when you are exactly where you want to be and life is good. It is a place of contentment and achievement. Maybe it's just the job you always wanted, or the life with a family you have always hoped for, or maybe it is all the comfort you desire or the success you have been working for. You feel like you are at the top of your game. Things are really finally going well. And what makes it a Samsonite place is when you look around and probably no, Delilah asks you outright, and you don't say it aloud, but you think, maybe just subconsciously feel, it's my hair. Not your hair, literally, but you feel, we have all felt like the strength that got you there comes from you. It's something about you. It was your determination, your hard work, your gifts or abilities, your creativity, your persistence, you that got you there. And so from a Samsonite place of success, it is so common and so easy to make the mistake of thinking that your hair, whatever quality you give credit to, got you there. Like Samson, we so easily forget that our hair is the sign, not the source, of our strength. And when we do, we begin to rely on ourselves. We credit ourselves. We trust in ourselves. After all, look how well we've done, how well we're doing. But when things begin to fall apart, and they nearly always do. When whatever we've been relying on is taken away, then we are in a position like Samson to figure out where strength truly comes from. The Philistines, every last leader, and the underlings too, gather for a celebration. And when they bring Samson out of the prison, blinded and bound, they're planning to mock him. That's really kind of the whole reason they've gathered, to make him perform for them, this once mighty warrior. Now, we can laugh a little and guess what's coming, because the last thing we read in verse 22 was that the hair on his head began to grow again. This seems like a pretty big oversight on the part of the Philistines. And Samson surely would have noticed it, that he had his hair back. And the old Samson would have banked on that. The old Samson would have thought he could rely on his hair to give him strength. He would have thought, I've got my locks again, I've got this. But this Samson isn't the old Samson. He's been on top, where he relied on himself, and he's had it all fall apart. And now he knows, finally knows, where true strength comes from. And for the first time, Samson relies on his God. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God, so that with this one act of revenge I may pay back the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He strained with all his might, and the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So those he killed at his death were more than those he had killed during his life. Samson's final act was his mightiest act. He didn't seek his own strength. He sought the Lord who was his strength. And it's a good reminder, I think, when we find ourselves on top of the world, tempted to survey with satisfaction all that we have done or gained, when we are prone to take the credit or to rely on our own strength, it is good to remember with Samson and the words of Psalm 18:32. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect.